The Digital Transformation for Government podcast series is brought to you by Thundercat Technology and Veritas Technologies. In each episode, we will shine a light into how government leaders and IT employees can tackle some of the most pressing data management and security needs today and into the future. In 2017, WannaCry, one of the most infamous ransomware attacks, took over businesses, government agencies, and individual systems, knocking them offline and holding their files for ransom. In the federal arena, these types of attacks can completely shut down government networks, rendering day-to-day work obsolete, and can also be fodder for negative press headlines. In this episode of the Digital Transformation for Government podcast series, we're speaking with Kurt Stege, Chief Technology Officer at Thundercat Technology, and David Surgeon, Senior Director at Veritas, about how federal leaders can best protect their agencies from ransomware attacks. And Kurt and David, how are you both doing today?
Doing well.
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And let's start with David. So before we talk about solutions for countering ransomware attacks, can you discuss the overall scope of this massive cybersecurity challenge?
Well, I think that this issue has been going on for a while, and the Department of Defense has definitely looked at a defensive posture of how they go about cyber and ransomware. One of the challenges you have, the underlying or the, as I like to say, the lifeline within that is the data. And I think that's one of the things as they plan, the Department of Defense has had a large challenge with how do they back up their data? How do they really look at a disaster recovery or even a COOP environment? And I think with that, they're opening the door to a lot of issues. A lot of the attacks they've had in the past have been internal, although they are now starting to see some external threats from a ransomware perspective.
Great insights there. And let's kick it over to Kurt. So overall, is why are federal agencies prime targets for these types of attacks?
Thanks for the question. And I think that, you know, all agencies, all areas are open. I think there was a discussion, you know, it was a report done by the FBI in around 2016, even, where they had increased from basically 1,000 ransomware attacks a day to 4,000 just in that 1 year from 2015 to 2016. And it's continued to increase from there. You know, it's so prevalent in throughout all of the different sort of government agencies, you know, from local cities, you know, Atlanta, Baltimore, both encountered ransomware attacks, you know, some fairly high profile shutdowns in states like New York, Virginia, Arizona, Texas, everywhere. And you also mentioned the WannaCry, in, which was a worldwide phenomenon, had shut down, you know, full government healthcare systems in 2017 in the UK. Why this is so prevalent in the federal space? You know, I think that it's distributed fairly often through phishing attacks, and many government addresses, first of all, are publicly available, easy to find. They also typically exploit older systems. So there was a, you know, I'll throw a few more stats out quickly why this might be, you know, more prevalent in the federal side than in some of the other ones is that, you know, as of 2017 worldwide, 39% of desktops were still running Windows 7. You know, there was also a report done around the same time in 2017 that by the GAO that government systems running in multiple agencies that were close to 56 years old. So, you know, all of these things together with the prevalence of information out there, with the amount of different systems, with the amount of older systems out there, and the amount of people that are employed by the federal government just kind of compounds everything and makes the federal government, I believe, more susceptible.
Great. Thanks for those insights there, Kurt. So, David, let's go a little bit deeper and tell us how ransomware actually enters into an agency's network.
Well, appreciate that. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times it's the easiest things. You would think with the Department of Defense, there's a lot of layers of security and double, you know, factor authentication, two-factor authentication. I think a lot of times you have challenges that sometimes it's the lack thereof. There's one, there's not planning. And also there's the training aspect of it. A lot of people aren't really, either they are done, there's mandatory training or there's training that's done that's out there that they really haven't come back. And all employees are trained to be able to ensure that they don't open the door, if you will, or let it come in. And quite frankly, you know, the Department of Defense is getting, as said earlier, is getting pounded continually with attacks and exponentially it's going up. So it's one of those things, the planning needs to be done. I think the other piece of it is, are people looking to back up their data and are they backing it up? So if they do have an attack, and it's not if they are, it's when they are, and then how do you recover from that? How do you respond to that? I think that's one of the challenges. that the department is looking to do a better job on is not only recognizing it, but also putting in place, do we have a disaster recovery plan in place? Do we have a COOP environment in place? And I think those are the things that are the larger challenges, training, and then, of course, what you're doing to mitigate that or prepare that you can alleviate some of those challenges when it comes to ransomware and malware.
Great. You know, David, we're going to stick with you on the next question. And you kind of answered this, but I'll ask it anyway. So overall, what are the best ways for agencies to defend against ransomware attacks?
Well, I think one thing is to put a plan in place. And that's an obvious answer. But I think the depth of the plan putting in place, what procedures you need to take to prep for that, what underscores that is really the backup and recovery. Have we put a good, we the agency put a good backup plan and recovery plan, and that we have quick availability to the data and be able to come back in a point in time where we know that it's clean data, be able to come back to that. Because with the Department of Defense, the continuity of operations is so important that you don't have a lag because you can't get the information or you can't address it. And it's critical to make sure that you can get back to that point in time where the data is clean and you can move forward with that. And it's really to have a team or best practices emergency response team or emergency response plan. And I think that's one thing that is limited across the board within Department of Defense that should be looked at a little bit better. And, you know, the recovery piece of it from a disaster recovery, I think I really have to highlight that because as much as it's talked about, as much as it's mentioned, I don't believe across the board it's where it needs to be. So that's one of probably the best practices they need to put in place is to ensure they have a data recovery and the disaster recovery. And to underscore that, I would say a data protection plan. A lot of times that's missing from a standpoint of, yes, we're protecting our data, but is it to a depth and a breadth that we need to be able to limit the size and scope of the ransom or malware or cyber attacks that we're getting?
Yeah, great. You know, in many ways, the plan that you're talking about is really an overall cybersecurity policy, right? Is what they need to enhance, right? Yeah, because that plays perfectly into my next question there. Because that seems like a really top level strategic element that has to be there, you know, across the board. Tell us more about that. And it sounds like more agencies need to do more when it comes from a policy perspective, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the things that there's been a lot of shift within the Defense Department with leadership and then those overseeing it in the CIO's office. And so there's been some change or adjustment of priorities, not just from an external standpoint of what they're looking DOD at large, but also from a security posture standpoint in the cyber element of it. And I think those policies are in place in an enterprise for the DOD enterprise, but I think when it comes down to certain agencies, it may not be as aligned as it should be. And I think those are the challenges you have that when people are moving to fourth estate, when there's different agencies going to a larger consolidated footprint, is there a larger policy in place? Has it been pushed down to the sub agencies or the component pieces of it? And I think those are important to make sure that that policy is enforced, not just at the enterprise level, but it goes down to individual agencies. Because it's really, when it comes down to it, it's going to be at the more tactical level that you're going to see a lot of the attacks and a lot of people probably adjusting to. And if that policy isn't enforced and is it rehearsed, if you don't have a disaster recovery plan in place, you're definitely going to have larger issues. And all it takes is one or two, right? We're not talking about a consolidation of a number of issues. We're talking about all it takes is, as we talked earlier, one or two of these ransomware attacks that really can put an agency down to its knees, if you will, really crush a network.
Yeah, I mean, I think just to tag on to that real quick, you know, I think that's the reason why you hear so much these days about, you know, that zero trust security model around recognizing and assessing what devices are out there, using multi-factor authentication, like you mentioned, limit access privileges, and developing strong policies across your agency.
Great insights there, Kurt. I appreciate you adding more to that. And it's a perfect segue here for the next question. If you don't mind, Kurt, tell us about the Thundercat technology partnership with Veritas and how it can help with this issue.
Sure. Well, I mean, Thundercat has been one of the leading partners in the federal space with Veritas for many years at this point. We work with them and with the agencies themselves to ensure really a holistic view of the information and security that's available to them in the agency, you know, with enterprise partners like Veritas, as well as solutions that would work with that. So as you're looking through things like, you know, where is my data? You know, what types of media is it stored on? How to help work within the tool sets that each of those different agencies uses and utilizes on a day-to-day basis to make sure that they have, you know, an overall data protection strategy for that agency.
Outstanding. You know, gentlemen, we are at the tail end of this podcast interview and we're at the anything else to add question. So we'll go to David first. Anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
I don't think so much missed it. I guess it's always a recommendation. And again, the agency has to look at their priorities and how they want to move out. I think a proactive stance, and that does sound like an obvious answer, but I think a proactive stance around, as Kurt said, a cybersecurity policy and data protection policy is so important, but it has to be enforced. It's just like anything else. You can put a policy in place. You can identify that, hey, this is a critical thing for the organization, but if you don't enforce it, if you don't practice it, if you don't come behind it, people are going to look at that is looked at by their leadership as important. They're going to find it important or identify it as important. So I think it's important to ensure that you enforce the policy, but to make sure that everybody recognizes and is doing their part to do it. So planning is so critical.
Great. Kurt, anything else to add?
Sure. I mean, just a couple of things here. I think, you know, as it was mentioned a few times, you know, around this is understanding what's out there and understanding where your critical protection areas are, you know, dealing with things like unified data loss prevention, you know, things like CASB and storage APIs, container security, everything's been out there, pervasive logging of your infrastructure, of your data. And, you know, using different things like, you know, focus on understanding the capabilities of each service that you have, you know, data visibility, cloud discovery, what things are being stored internally, what things are being stored externally. And one thing that may be getting missed, which is talked about a lot these days, is the development cycle. Throughout the development cycle in DevSecOps pipeline, you're dealing with open source components across the board. And I think it's really important to make sure that, you know, these things are in some, many cases dealing with, you know, upwards of 70% of the code that's out there has been pulled from open source areas, not just, you know, developed, you know, one person coding. It's basically pulling in a lot of the pieces of information and integrating that together. I think it's important to have policy around the importation of those open source components and make sure that you understand how those things, you know, there are scanning tools, there are, you know, and it's critical to ensure that you don't, you know, inadvertently introduce vulnerabilities into your environment because of those open source components.
Great insights there. This concludes an exclusive Digital Transformation for Government podcast interview where we spoke with Kurt Stege, Chief Technology Officer at Thundercat Technology, and David Surgeon, Senior Director at Veritas. And both of these executives were kind enough to share insights into how federal leaders can best protect their agencies from ransomware attacks. And Kurt and David, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Digital Transformation for Government podcast series brought to you by Thundercat Technology and Veritas Technologies. To learn more about how Thundercat and Veritas can help your agency to accelerate its digital transformation and solve pressing IT and operational challenges, please visit thundercattech.com/Veritas.